worship Jesus. Amen.
Another minute in my old ways. Praise the Lord.
The beginning and the end. You have conquered death, and you are worthy of our worship.
Yes.
We're going to sing that chorus one more time, and whatever you're going through, remember that he is just, he's worthy of our worship. There is nothing, no circumstance where he is not worthy.
Give you my worship. You still deserve it.
Let's just praise him for a minute. Just give him a call. Yes, you are good, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're so glad you're here. If you would, go around and greet some of your family of faith this
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to have you today, live streamers, wherever you're watching at, Facebook or YouTube. It's wonderful to have you. But I'm glad you guys made it out on this rainy morning this morning. Margo and I were out last night, and we were driving home probably about 10 o'clock. It was pouring down. How many of you ever noticed, if you're on the country roads, when it's been raining all day, all the earthworms come up on the road? How many know what I'm talking about? I was like trying to, you're just like committing mass murder of earthworms for like, I just felt bad about it. But anyways, they come up to save your life, then we run over them with our cars. Kind of gross. I don't know why I was thinking about that. Anyways. My goodness. Well, it's good to have you. You can prep your giving this morning if you have tither offering envelopes or in chairs in front of you. If there's not one there, or you dig around in that pocket, there's not anything in there, wave your hand around. The ushers will help you out. They also have prayer cards this morning. So if you have a prayer need, we'd love to join with you in faith in your prayer request. Go ahead and ask for one of these for one of the ushers. Fill it out. You don't have to put your name on it, but you can. Fill it out. Then this container beside the platform, put it in there. We pray over these at Monday night prayer each week, and also I personally take time to pray over them, so go ahead and do that. And by the way, while you're preparing your giving, a quick reminder, the third Mondays for Monday night prayer, we actually provide childcare. So I know some of you don't come out sometimes to Monday night prayer because we don't have childcare, but the third Monday we do. As a matter of fact, when they're downstairs, Miss Mandy actually teaches them about prayer, and they go through some things concerning prayer. So that's tomorrow night. So if you have kids, you want to come out to Monday night prayer, that's for you. So I hope to see you there. But let me pray over your giving this morning. If you have something, you can bring it down to the baskets. Lord, we thank you that we're able to come together and be with you today. And Lord, we worship you and we praise you, and that includes our giving this morning, as we are people who follow you with every part of who we are, including our finances, Lord. And there's a way that you have asked us to live in those things, and we're obedient to that. In Jesus' name, we all say amen and amen. And Margo, if you want to come up tell us about a couple things.
Okay. Yes. Good morning, everyone. Good to see y'all. So first, Kylan is in the... Yeah, I'm going to make him move. If you are a first-time guest, we do have this QR code here because we're getting fancy. If you want to scan that with your phone, that will bring up a form and just tell us a little bit about you. And also, I know Kylan uses this, like he said, the prayer cards, but he also uses this to pray over people. So if you want to scan that and give us tell us a little bit about yourself, or you can always ask us questions too. You can come up and talk to us afterwards. And I also wanted to talk about Next Steps, which is next Sunday. So Next Steps is just something we have. If you've been coming to the church for a while and you want to make this part of your family, we just have Next Steps that tells you a little bit about us, gives you a chance to ask us questions, and we can tell you the different ways in which you can serve. And so that is right after church next.
Yep, next Sunday right after church. So the sign-up sheet is back for that. Yeah. So if you're interested in being there, please sign up, and we'll connect with you next week.
Is that all you have for me?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Joy Fellowship next Sunday. That's one of our small groups that's happening, Bill and Patsy. So if you have questions about that, they meet at 5 p.m. on the fourth Sunday of the month. So see them. And of course, all sorts of small groups are happening. So if you're interested in joining a small group, and I hope you are, connect with me and we'll hook you up. But also on the backboard back there is a listing of our small groups, leaders, times they meet, and all that kind of stuff. Also, men's breakfast, the first Saturday in April, 9 a.m. You can sign up in the back for that. And our topic is the Book of Philemon. So if you want to, before you come that morning, you can prep by reading that. And last but not least, we have a scripture reading guide for Easter 40 Days of Remembrance that started this past Wednesday. If you didn't pick one of these up and you want one, they're also at the back table. So go ahead and grab one, and we will focus our scripture reading over the next month on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus as we are headed towards Easter. So having said that, let's get our Bibles out this morning. I'm glad you are here, and I'm glad for the series that we've been in. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Of course, we have come out of the Beatitudes. Now we're into, I want to call it the general part of the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. But that's where we're at. And as we are doing this series, remember, it's a good idea at least once a week during your reading time of your Bible to read Matthew chapter 5 through 7 to keep this together as a whole. Okay, we're breaking it down in bits and pieces as we go, but to keep it as a whole, at least once a week, read Matthew chapter 5 through 7, because as the Sermon on the Mount ends, it says that those who listen to the words of Jesus are building their house on the rock, and the winds and the waves and all these things happen, and your house will stand, but foolishness is to do the opposite, to not build your house on the words of Jesus. So the winds and the waves and those things come, the house will fall, and Jesus said, "And great will be the fall of it." So I want to live with wisdom. How many want to live with wisdom? You want to build your house on the rock? Well, the context of that is Matthew chapter 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and the things that Jesus has said. It's easy to say that you believe in Jesus. It's another thing to live the life that he's called us to live. And the Sermon on the Mount is a basis for approaching this life as we follow Jesus. Jesus begins to teach these things in accordance to follow me. So what's it look like to follow Jesus? Well, we can start with the Sermon on the Mount. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that you have called us to follow you. Lord, we're so thankful that you have given us new life and abundant life. Lord, we're thankful that you're teaching us what it really means to live in this world in the midst of a fallen world. That you haven't left us where we were, but you're taking us somewhere. We're becoming something. Your intentions. And I pray, Lord, as we're every day, purposely following you, committing our lives to you, that there's change happening. And we're beginning to catch your heart of who you are and why you do the things that the way you do it. And that's becoming who we are. Lord, we've been in this series, Lord. We're trying to take away presumptions and getting down to the basics of who you are and what you really said and how that shapes and forms our lives. And I pray, Lord, that any of these things that seem to be hard or things we have to work through in our lives, Lord, that we know that you're helping us, the Holy Spirit's with us. There's nothing too great. So I thank you, Lord, for calling us and taking us somewhere. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Now, what we're going to read here, we're actually going to skip this today, and I'll tell you why in a second. It says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, how shall the saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything but be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. And you are a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And of course, that follows the last of the Beatitudes, when it talks about, well, it's blessed to be persecuted because your reward is great. Now, we're coming back there. We got one big family in 2 weeks, which the kids are with us for those that service. We're going to come back and do that portion on one big family in 2 weeks. So let's read into where we're going to be today. Verse 17. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one iota, not one dot will pass from the law until it all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And here's something really interesting. For I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Then verse 21. And you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come quickly to offer your gift. Come terms quickly with the accuser while you're with him on the way to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. So we're going to get to this business about anger and name-calling and that stuff in a minute, but let's deal with this first part about the fulfillment of the law. That 17 through verse 20 verses in Matthew chapter 5 has allowed some debate as to whether or not Gentile believers need to follow the details of the law of Moses. Jesus is talking at this moment to Jewish people, okay? Jesus is talking about the fulfillment of things. As we see this working out of Scripture, Acts 15, the book of Galatians, the book of Romans. Well, the Jewish people, as they work out their faith in Jesus, well, those questions come to them. But Gentile believers, no, we don't follow the letter of the law, okay? But we have to understand that there is an intention and a heart of the law in which the prophets would verify. God had relationship with Adam and Eve. They fall in sin. God calls Abraham. There's a way that God deals with Abraham and brings him forward. Then the nation of Israel is established. God begins to deal with them in certain ways, the law in which the prophets come, and so forth. It is all a line working towards a fulfillment. It's not contradictory to one another, but it is the way that God is working to bring people into right worship and right relationships with each other. That's the crux that we get down to in the law. See, the intention of a law, again, bringing people into a right way of worship out of the societies around them at that time and into a right way of interaction with one another. It also teaches that there are such things that fall under the sacred and the secular, the clean and the unclean. And some of these things are directly connected to the cultures and customs of the people around the Israelites at that time, that they would not mix in with them and then certainly then fall into idolatry. And of course, the intention of the prophets was to remind people of idolatry and injustice, wrong worship and wrong treatment of others. Now, Jesus is saying here, he did not come to undo or abolish these things. But what we see that Jesus did and the things that he said come in light of them. These things lead into Jesus. Jesus fulfilled them and brought them to completion. So he upholds them, then continues in greater revelation of God. They point to a better way, new covenant. See, Jesus as the perfect fulfillment of the law, well, it satisfies its demand. He is now the new and better way. We don't live by the letter of the law, but we live by its intention and its heart. So we hold to that intention as they are fulfilled in Jesus. Remember the transfiguration? Jesus is up on the mountain. Some disciples were brought with Jesus and appeared to them Moses, representative of the law, and Elijah, representative of the prophets. And God said, in Jesus, Moses, Elijah, God said, this is my son, listen to him. He is the greater. He fulfills. He brings it in completion. Listen to him. These are not bad. They're not abolished. They're not undone. But listen to him. The law and the prophets, as the things that were actually before them, all bring us to the fulfillment of Jesus. So that how is it that our righteousness can surpass even the scribes of the law and the Pharisees? Because Jesus is our righteousness. You do not find righteousness in the fulfillment of those things. You find it in Jesus. As Jesus brings in the fulfillment and he is our righteousness, the law that brings the recognition of sin and certainly death, Jesus brings all of that to himself, something that we cannot carry, but he does it for us. Therefore, he is our righteousness, and in him, our righteousness will surpass that of the scribes and of the Pharisees. So Jesus is the fulfillment of all the things that come before him, the things that he instituted, by the way, but they were pointing to him the whole time. Right worship, right way of interacting with one another, understanding sin. There is unclean, but there is also clean found in him and his forgiveness. Amen. Jesus is the fulfillment of these things. And what's interesting then is, go back to Matthew chapter 5, Nehemiah, and verse 21, if you would. Matthew 5, 21. We'll get there real quick. You have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But watch what he says. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Notice, you heard that's of old. Where was it said you shall not murder? Ten Commandments, right? Ten Commandments that come to Moses. All of Israel knew it. Something that was passed down and taught. You've heard that. You know that. But I come and say this. He's bringing authority to himself. When he started doing this stuff, this is what really started to make him mad. Who is this guy to mess with this? Who does he think he is to come and say, you heard that that came from God, but I'm telling you, he's equating himself with God in these statements. And this is the first, I think, six different times that he says something like this in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's talk about this. See, what Jesus is doing is, all of these, you heard that it was said, but I tell you, he's not saying that you don't have to live by you shall not murder. That's good. Don't do that. Right? But he wants to get to the hearts and the intention of the matter. Okay? As a matter of fact, in this, he goes beyond murder and he gets to anger and he gets to name calling. Murder, anger, and name-calling, labeling. So, Nehemiah, if you'll throw that first slide up for me. See, in this, Jesus ties together those three things because they all have the same root. They all come from the same place. Well, I've never murdered somebody. Well, the vast majority of people can say that, but that doesn't count for everybody, right? But has your anger ever been out of control? Have you ever name-called somebody? Labeled somebody? Jesus is saying, look, you've got to get to the root of all of this. Because what we have a tendency to do is, well, I've never murdered somebody, pat myself on the back, feel good about myself. I've never did one of the big sins, but never realized in just the same, my anger can bring me into judgment, and so can my name calling. So how about we undo the pat from our back and think about this stuff? Let's read again what Jesus says. He doesn't leave room here. So picking up in verse 22. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother can be liable to the council. That's the Sanhedrin. It's the ruling kind of court of the Jewish people. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. My goodness. See, some translations said that insult is the word raka. That literally means to call somebody worthless. You're worthless. You can be drugged before the council and tried for that. An errant word in anger, you're a fool. You put yourself in danger of the fire of hell. You think about these things. See, what is really in your heart will eventually come out. Is that true? Remember the critique Jesus had of the Pharisees? You look good on the outside like a whitewashed tomb. See, but inwardly, like you're full of a tomb of dead bones. There's no life there. That your righteousness would surpass the scribes and the Pharisees. You can look good on the outside. I've never murdered nobody. But see, eventually, what's really in your heart will come out in uncontrollable anger or labeling people. You're worthless. You're a fool. You see? And Jesus is saying, look, your heart is what we've got to get to because there has to be change. You can try your best to band-aid what everybody sees, but eventually what's in there will come out. See, that's why the righteousness of Jesus into our life is so important. But again, what that results in then is a life of change. Our mouth matters as much as your actions. I've never physically hurt somebody, even to the point of possible murdering them, but maybe you've murdered somebody with your words. Remember, Wednesday night we're talking about strongholds of the mind. Thought processes that need to be changed in some people. When you're little and somebody says to you, you're worthless, that can build a stronghold of a thought pattern in your mind. You, by doing that, took life from them. Because unless they begin to deal with it at some point, overcome it, they're stuck in a pattern of, I actually am worthless because of something somebody said. You see, I'm getting at. Words mean something. And we've got to come to a place to understand if my Christian faith is really dealing with my heart, then I have to let it. And be honest with myself that all facets of my life, not just my actions, but my emotions, anger, and the words that come out of my mouth are in line with being life-giving. Life-giving. Okay? Do you realize that when you say, if I was to look at Larry and say, you're worthless, I just put myself in judgment over him, as if I am qualified to say who he is. Well, I could look at Joe and say, you're a fool, like I'm qualified to divide the world into the wise and foolish in my heart. This is why Jesus said, judge lest ye be judged. In the measure you use, well, that's the measure you're going to get. And listen to me. We try to justify so much why we can look at somebody and say, you're worthless. You're a fool. We try to justify. We can even make our little list why they are foolish. Yeah, certainly there are people who are foolish. But who am I to be that in their life? Let's say my son, as he's growing up, let's say he did some foolish things, which he probably did. Is it my job to say, you are such a fool. My gosh, you're a fool. Or is it my job to see things and speak life? You know what? That just wasn't the wisest thing. Let me tell you a better way. Let me encourage you. Let me build you up. There's a way to go about life that you learn how to speak life versus being out of control coming from your heart. Is anger wrong? No, it's an emotion we have. The Bible says at times God was angry, but out of control anger is not in the self-control of the fruit of the Spirit. Then you're liable to judgment. Out of control words, you're liable to judgment. You see? Listen to me. It's easy to believe in Jesus. It's another thing to do and live what he says. That we're checking who we are. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. You can come to church and look all smiley-faced, worship Jesus, serve on a dream team. You can even greet at the door, then go home and speak in such a way to your spouse or to your kids that belies the heart of Jesus. You can come to church and raise your hands, serve on a dream team, be nice when you're here, but man, you're on Facebook talking about people who believe politically different than you, and you're just nasty as a snake. Comes out of your heart. You can look good. You can look whitewashed on the outside of your tomb, but inside full of dead bones. Because at some point, somewhere, what's in here will come out. We got to quit making excuses for ourselves. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, Paul here to the church in Ephesus. Good if I was in Ephesians, not Philippians. There we go. Watch what Paul writes. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. So you can speak truth, but watch this. Be angry. Yeah, you can be angry. But do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Yep. Don't give him place. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with everyone in need. That gets back to the tongue here, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Watch this. But only such as good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. I'm glad I've been sealed. My ownership is in him. Watch this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. You see that? Anger that festers, anger that builds grudges, anger that causes you to respond in certain ways. We need to deal with this. Words that don't build up but tear down, we have to deal with this. This is what it means to follow Jesus. But notice how Jesus kind of wraps up this whole anger and name-calling and labeling and murder. Therefore, if you come to offer your gift at the altar, temple, why are we offering a gift at the altar? Reconciliation with God. If somebody has something against you, don't even offer it. Just lay it there. Go find who needs reconciliation and work to be reconciled. Do you notice that Jesus said right there, you being reconciled with somebody where there's a difference is more important than you offering a gift at the altar. See that? Because even if you don't get back to the altar to offer your gift, God saw your heart in the attempt of reconciliation. It's the heart he's after, not the letter of the action. See that? He wants your heart to be in the right place. That we work to be people that are reconciled with one another because we know things are going to happen, so we don't stay in anger. We don't name call. We don't label. We don't stand over top of somebody in judgment. But we work to be reconciled, bringing each other to an equal level. Because that's really what did God do? He brought himself as a human being. He came down to our level in order to reconcile man back to God. Now he says, this is the work of the kingdom. Learn how to be reconciled to one another. That's more important than all the spiritual stuff you can put on in front of everybody else. As a matter of fact, this whole do unto others, if somebody has something against you in such a way to take you to court, try to reconcile with them on the way. Because you may end up finding yourself in front of the judge and find yourself in labor, because in that day, certain judgments would be you had to be in some sort of a jail until you were able to pay yourself back out to the person that, well, put you there. Even work in those situations to be reconciled to somebody. So we don't live in anger. We don't live in name-calling and labeling. We work to control our anger, learn what it means to build each other up. And when things go sideways, reconcile. That's the heart of God. Have we ever fought in our marriage? Did you ever win? I thought she was going to say every time. But why did we stay married? We learn how to reconcile. If you ask my son, was I a perfect parent? Did I ever do anything I shouldn't have done? He'd say, probably. We have a good relationship today? Yep. You know why? We learn how to reconcile. Have I ever did something that hurt a church member? Probably. But if I find out, I'm going to work to reconcile. I'm gonna try even not to let the sun go down on it. I'm gonna work to reconcile. Because that is the heart of God. You know why people don't want to reconcile with somebody else? They're just worthless. It's not worth my time. Not worth my effort. I have a right to be angry. They were wrong. Why would I go and try to work it out? They should come to me. When they take the first step, then I'll think about it. We have all these reasons. And Jesus said, nah, let's wipe that board clean. Do you know why? Because remember, just with the same as the Beatitudes and all these things that Jesus begins to teach, that you see his heart. Look, who took the first step of reconciliation between God and man? God did. If he'd have waited on some of you wouldn't even be saved. As a matter of fact, we can't be saved unless he takes the first step. He was seeking us out while we were dirty, lost, and shameful sinners. And he chased us. Went after us. Because God's just angry all the time. His anger's out of control and he can't wait to smite you with a lightning bolt. No, because God is grace and he's mercy and he's forgiveness. Comes after us. And he doesn't show up to you and say, you know what? You are so worthless. You are such a fool. My goodness, I can barely stand to be near you. He's the God that runs down the road and grabs hold of you before you get to say anything. And he said, look, that is my heart. Can we learn that and be that way to other people? Can we learn that? And you know what? God, listen to me. God is after every single person. Even the people that are so different than you, you're not even sure how you can even be in relationship with them. People with different ideologies, different skin colors, different languages. He's after everybody. We're the one who put up walls. We're the ones. Can we capture this heart of God that changes us this way? That in order to be able to speak life and give life, that we are growing in life. See, this whole business of being forgiven and all things made new and I'm marked with the seal of ownership of the Holy Spirit, my eternity is set. But you know what? There's things we got to work out. We have to start to become aware. That when I speak a cross word to my wife, even if we're having a time of contention about something, that I say, that was wrong, I am sorry. That does not have place in our relationship. If I get so angry, I pick something to chuck it across the room in some sort of false, tough bravado to try to put her in a spot where she has to give in to me. That's wrong. Sinful. I'm liable to judgment. That we work things out. Or not my wife, if it's somebody who's even unsaved, they're not a Christian. They treat me in such a way. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Right? Then how do we respond when we're persecuted? We're a light of the world. Yeah, I'm not going to murder them, but I'm also not going to fester in anger. Whether to their face or to other companies, they're such a fool, worthless. We are looking at our heart in all the situations of our life. How can you be, 1 Corinthians, of the ministry of reconciliation to which you have been called when you personally stand in judgment over other people? You can't do that. Can't do it. It's our heart. These are the things that the closer you get to the heart of Jesus, the more you start to realize, oh boy. But the thing is, it's not to be discouraged. I can't do that, but say, oh man. I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit, my life can change to capture the heart of God. Amen. We've got like 8 more weeks in the Sermon on the Mount, so buckle up. We got some places to go. My goodness. Amen. How many of y'all know that there's some things that we've got to work on? Anybody? But how many, let me see another rate. How many know that you can get there? Yeah. I believe that too. And Jesus wouldn't say these things unless we can be on the road to going there. But remember, as he says later in the Sermon on the Mount, the way is narrow. Some translations, the way is hard. That you will call your own life into an account and begin to get on this road. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's pray. Well, Holy Spirit, we need your help. Well, I thank you for saving us. I thank you that your mercy made room for our salvation. We thank you for all the things that your grace provides, everything that we need. We thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. As you're sitting there, just keep your eyes closed, head bowed. If you say today, you know what? My anger's been out of control at times, or yeah, I've labeled some people. I've practically name-called people. And maybe there's some standing things right now that you need forgiveness for. Raise your hand. Let me see. Anybody? Anybody else? Several hands. Put them down. I see. Anybody else? Lord, you see our hearts. And we ask today for forgiveness of these sort of things. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you not only forgive us, but now begin to help us. We want to change. We want your heart. We want the fruit of the Spirit of self-control to grow. Lord, we want to be people that are life-giving, even in situations where there's tension, disagreement. That even in those moments, we're life-giving because Lord, you even teach us that we're to love our enemies. We're even to pray for those who persecute us. See, all these things go together. This is your heart. So today your forgiveness abounds because, well, there's some people here asking. And we know that you hear and we know that you respond. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for all of us this morning that this new creation of salvation that you so freely gave us is being worked out into our lives in all things. That we're always under the help of the Holy Spirit, that the conviction of the Holy Spirit in certain things is clear to us. That we learn how to listen to you. That in moments, ask for your help. And Lord, as you're helping us, then we're also growing in these things. Lord, I want to be who I was even 2 years ago, even a year ago. But I want to be where you're taking me in every moment of my life. So I thank you, Lord, for that. You're helping me work out what it means to be this new humanity in the midst of this lost and dying world. Praise you, Jesus. You are so wonderful, you're good. You know, I've told you this many times. When I got to be a late teenager, I was a very angry person. It wouldn't be much to flip my switch. Matter of fact, in college, my second year of college, my friends jokingly would call me Nitro. Nitroglycerin, it don't take much. Out of control anger. One day, the Holy Spirit convicted me. You think it's just as obvious as the nose on my face, but I was just sort of oblivious to this anger issue. And there was reasons that certain things built up in my life at that point. The Holy Spirit convicted me. I'll never, even after that conviction, it was just like, oh yeah, I still have a problem. And there were moments I'm like, I'm just not sure that I can deal with this anger. Because it's so reactionary and so quick, how am I going to get a handle on this? It feels like you are thinking, but it's not even feeling like I'm able to think before I'm responding in some way. But you know what? I committed that to the Lord. And there was a process of time where I was really praying, Lord, through the spirit of self-control, through the spirit of self-control, through the spirit. And I was just praying. Then one time, I kind of felt my heart, but that's not all of it. Because you got to replace it with something. You don't just cut the fruit off, but you grow new fruit. So I started understanding about the fruit of the spirit of kindness, fruit of the spirit of gentleness, fruit of the spirit of patience, long-suffering. Now, I need to pray about that, too. Now, I will tell you today, after a lot of years, you really, 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 really would have to push my buttons just to make me angry. That simple testament of the work of God, because it wasn't me, it's not my willpower, but the work of God in my life. It's one of the ways that I have changed. And I want to tell you that to let you know this. It's possible, because I've been there. That and a couple other things in my life that in time I was learning to deal with. God can do anything if you give him the space. Amen? Yeah. So let's start working. And let's see what he can do. Amen? Here's how I want to close out today. If everybody would stand up on your feet. I just felt this morning that I wanted to pray for those of you that need a physical touch in your body, sickness, whatever it is. So if that's you, Samara's going to lead us in a worship song. If you would like prayer over some sort of physical sickness, right now you can come forward. And after a moment, if I'm still praying, if you feel like you need to head out, go ahead and do so. Let's just sing this chorus together a couple times. But if that's you, you want prayer this morning for something physically in your body, please come down. Let me pray with you. And then the rest of you can, in a few moments here, you can just head on out, okay? But have a blessed day. We'll see you Wednesday. Next Sunday, we'll keep on this. Just come on down.
I give you my worship. You still deserve it. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of my song. I'll pour out your praises and blessing and breaking. I give you my worship. 'cause you still deserve it. You're worthy of my soul. I'll pour out your praises and blessing and breaking. Pour out your praises and blessing and breaking.